Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to go with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of the Psalms. I want to go to Psalms chapter 13. Psalms chapter 13. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of when heaven goes quiet. When heaven goes quiet. Here's what the psalmist David said. Now, I like David. David's one of my favorite biblical characters, and I hate to even say character because sometimes then people think that that's a fictional person, but this is a real dude. Really happened. And here's what he said. He said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Will you forget me forever?" Anybody ever been there? "How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Man, hang on a minute. I just hear that replaying over in my mind a couple of times. How I've prayed that. "Lord, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? God, how long will you hide your face from me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy." Thank you, Lord. "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Come on, somebody. "I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Now, I don't know if you caught that. He starts the Psalms off by saying, "How long will you hide yourself from me?" He starts out by saying, "How long will you forget who I am?" But then he ends up by saying, "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." You see, at some point in time, you got, my God, help me, Jesus. At some point in time, you got to come out of the mully grubs. At some point in time, you got to rise above what you're going through and declare and decide, look back over your life and say, "You know what? When it all been said and done, God has been good to me. I know that right now things might not be going my way and I don't feel like things are going my way. My prayers aren't being answered. But after, as I looked over the whole scope of my life, God has been good to me. God has been better to me than I've been to him. And when heaven goes silent, it's going to be all right because I know that God is too good to keep silent forever. I know that at some point in time, he will speak to my life one more time." Hey, I didn't mean to get so excited right off the bat. I got to kind of ease some of y'all into this thing. Do you remember? Let me show you. No, I don't want to show it yet. Do you remember when you first fell in love with someone? Where hours on the phone seemed like minutes. Where the hour drive to their house was just a drop in the bucket. Where all you wanted to do was just be with that person. When you're together, time flies. When you're apart, time drags on and on. And in fact, we have a term for that. We call it love sick. And that's a special time in a relationship when you don't even think their breath stinks when it does. That's a special time. But the intensity of those feelings You have when you first, in love, will begin to change. Aren't you glad you came this morning? I heard some of y'all say it. Not us, baby. You a liar and your breath stinks. Because at some point in time, you'll find yourself standing on entirely new relational and emotional terrain. Because how many remember puppy love? Man, when I got married, February will be 30 years ago. I got married at 35. Come on. I got married at 5. So I'm 35. But when I got married 30 years ago, I look back on that love and laugh. I think, you mean I got married on that old junk? That little old puppy love. That love ain't nothing now. Back then it was just, but now it's, How many know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all been married a long time. You know, that's right, John. I see Judy bumping you. You better say amen. Y'all been married a long time. Amen. If she got that cash, she'll hit you upside the head with it. Amen. In that moment when you're standing on new territory, new relational and emotional terrain, some may wonder if something's gone terribly wrong with your relationship. Because I just don't get the butterflies when I see them anymore. Well, church, and in fact, everything may be moving along through the normal, healthy phases of relational development. Because let me tell you that you need to understand that if a relationship is going to endure, then it'll have to grow far beyond puppy love, love sickness, and infatuation and go into a deepened commitment and some emotional depth that says, I know that you don't look your best today, but I still love you despite what you look like. And I know that you treated me ugly today, but I love you beyond that because I know that deep down we are emotionally connected. Well, I didn't know it was going to be a marital message. Every message that I preach is marriage. Why? Because it's about you and God, and the way you deal with other people is a good indication of the way you deal with God. And the problem is we're so relational dysfunction, we can't have a good function with the Father. Preacher, I believe I will. Thank you for that. Amen. We need to develop into something farther, something deeper, something that warm and fuzzy feelings you may have felt at one time needs to go deeper. It has to in your relationship if it's going to grow. Now, if I had another hour, I would just give the mic right now to Steve and let him preach for the off the cuff because he could. But it ain't your time. Yet, you may find that the sheer thrill of worship and being in His Word isn't quite moving as it once was. Remember when you first got saved and you thought everybody loved Jesus? And you thought everybody was excited because you was excited? Remember that? You remember when you thought everybody that came to church were Christians? Yeah. I don't know where you got that. You came at one point in time and you wasn't a Christian. And you thought that everybody that came to church and said they were a Christian really were? Woo! I can't get no help, but I'm gonna preach anyway. At some point, it may seem as though He's a million miles away. We're talking about God now. Even though you still know in your heart that He's right there with you. The truth is that there are times in my relationship with God where I've nearly begged God to make His presence more clear to me to no avail. And yet, even when I've cried out, God, for clarity, there are times when I have felt as if I was on my own. When all I felt was my own disappointment. Have you ever felt that way? I mean this. If God is the same today as he was when we first fell in love with him, then what happened? Where did it seem to go wrong? Well, how and why does he seem so far off at times? Why is it when you're praying at times and the only seems like the only one listening are the four walls around you? Like what Jim Waldron said one time, he says sometimes he prays and he feels like it goes out of his mouth and right up his nose. Anybody ever pray that way? It's frustrating. Have you ever asked God, where are you? Why are you hiding? Why would God be so elusive? Is he a carrot God? Let me answer that. No, he's not. And yet the truth is that the different seasons of our life can often look different. I want you to bring that picture up that you have. Now, some of you see different things in this picture. Remind me to get the pointer so I can point to some things. Right in the middle, to the right a little bit, there's that face that comes up out of the water. There are some things that are very easily identified. If you look over here, you know, all the way to the left, it might look like your mother-in-law. It's a baboon. holding, look like something in her hand. If you look at the bottom, there's a fish. If you look at a little closer, there's a bird. If you look over there's a shell. There's a frog. There's some eyes picking up out of there. If you look over into the sky, there's a cat. Some right beside the cat, there's a fish. There's a gorilla in that mountain. There's all kind of different things. And sometimes we, have you ever seen some of those hidden pictures that some is seem like, oh, I see exactly what it is. But then others, it has to be pointed out to you. Has God ever seemed that way to you? Well, I can tell you, it's because of the different seasons that we have been through. Have you ever experienced this? Have you ever experienced the hiddenness of God? Those seasons when heaven seems to go silent, when heaven seems to be quiet. Have you experienced that? In those kinds of seasons that caused David to cry out as he did, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? In Psalms 10 and 1, he says, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in the times of trouble? In Isaiah 8 and 17, Isaiah declares, and I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob. In Isaiah 45 and 15, it declares, truly you are a God who hides himself. Wait a minute. One scripture, he has said that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. But then on the other hand, now you got the same guy that said he's a help in the very time of trouble, saying, why do you hide yourself when I'm in trouble? Well, that's why I don't read the Bible. It's just too confusing. They contradict themselves. You got to understand where they're coming from. Have you ever been saying, oh God, you're so wonderful. And you go, oh God, where are you? Did God change? Did God move? How about this? Let's bring it down to where we can understand. Have you ever been going, oh girl, you are fine. And then a little while later, I can't stand you. Don't say you didn't do it. Don't make me go through your Facebook. How many times did you say, I do, and then I don't? Well, I'd like to look at throughout the rest of this morning at four seasons of life I want to deal with for a moment that characterize the degree to which we're able to experience the presence of God. Our worship team just got back from a presence-driven conference where they were talking about the presence of God. The first season is what one author wrote as rainbow days. Rainbow days. Now, we all like rainbows. You see a double rainbow, we're taking out our cameras and we're taking pictures. You see some rainbow, oh, you look for the pot of the rainbow at the end of the rainbow, you don't find it. Or the pot of the gold at the end of the rainbow. Like some of those easier hidden picture scenes, There are seasons where God makes his presence so apparent to you where you just can't miss it even if you tried. I like those days. I like those days when you're walking in the fog with the favor of God. Come on. When you're just walking, you're like, man, I'm telling you what, I can't do no wrong. I mean, everything's going right. Oh my goodness. You get ready to step into a mud puddle and it dries up. You're like, my Lord Jesus, come on somebody. I don't know. You get to the grocery store, somebody else pays your bill. You go to the restaurant and somebody picks up your bill. You don't even know. You're like, hallelujah. I am walking in the fog. Ah, I know this is God. That's rainbow days, baby. God makes his presence known to you where you just can't miss it. I know from Genesis 9 that after God brought Noah and his family out of the ark, that he had protected them during the storm and the flood, he made a promise to them and he made a promise to humanity that he would never perish in this way again. But more than that, he made a covenant with humanity. And that spoke of his ongoing love and his ongoing presence. And in Genesis 9 and 12, he said this, I will make a covenant with you that from this time on, I will be with you and that I will give you a sign of my covenant. And the sign of the covenant was rainbow. Woo! Can you imagine? Oh, Noah. Noah said, wow. Well, he probably said, wow, this was definitely not a silent heaven kind of day. I'll give you a sign. Boom, there's your sign. If he were Pentecostal, he would have went, oh, glory. Yes, Lord, I hear you. Right? That's the kind of days I love. Those are the kind of days that I rejoice in. But now skip ahead a few generations. And one day God came to a man by the name of Abraham. In a world again filled with violence, he asked Abraham to leave his home in order to go with him to a land that he had never been before. He said where he would become a blessing to the nations, and yet he would not have done, or he would have to do this alone. Here's what God said. He said, I will make a covenant with you. From this time on, you will be my people and I will be your God. I will be with you and I'll mark this covenant with a sign. And Abraham goes, hey, I've read. It's going to be a rainbow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But let me finish. He said, I'm going to give you a sign of my covenant with circumcision. Can I have a rainbow? You know, I'm a grown man now. Some of y'all ain't tracking with me. Check with your mom and daddy. And Abraham said, wow, God. Noah got a rainbow as a sign of your covenantal love, and I get circumcision, really? That's the way we're going to play this. Now, I'm telling you, if I were Abraham, I'd have been like, what's wrong with me? Why it's got to be circumcision? Why couldn't it be rainbow? Right? Why couldn't it be rainbow? God, that's what I'm looking for, rainbow. I want rainbow days, not circumcision days. Rainbow days, that's what I'm looking for. You know, come on, God. Couldn't we have like a secret handshake or something? Couldn't we have a covenant like we have some decoder ring that both of us wear or something? You know? But yet, even though Abraham's day was a little bit more painful than Noah's, God's presence and purpose was made clear. Even though it was painful, it was still a rainbow day. Oh, yeah. I feel this covenant. It's on these rainbow days that God's presence is thankfully almost too hard to miss. They represent those moments or seasons where the veil that separates the natural from the supernatural gets pretty thin, because you can see into the supernatural. You can see how God's moving. You're like, my God, God's moving in my life. On rainbow days, your life is filled with more clarity. You have a clear sense of God's presence. You know, you wake up. Hallelujah. You find yourself wanting to pray more. You find yourself more open to receiving and acting on what God is speaking to you to do. When you're in that, God's presence is easy. It's so easy to see zone. Life just seems better. Sin looks less tempting. Sin begins to tempt you like, are you kidding me? God's doing too much. You get all spiritual, God's been too good to me. Stress, I ain't stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Right? Your kid can track mud on your white carpet and you'll patiently remind them, oh, I remember when I was a kid. I did stuff just like that. You little booger. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you're experiencing rainbow days right now. If so, hallelujah for you and enjoy it. Because it won't last forever. There are other seasons. Amen. You know, here's one of the reasons why I know I'm getting older. I know it doesn't look like it, but I used to work out. I used to work out like 3-4 days a week, 3-4 hours a day. Why? Because if you like chocolate the way I like chocolate, you got to work out. And so I used to work out. I used to be fit. Now, you know, now I go back to the gym and I start lifting weight and I go, yeah. No, I don't think so. You know, used to you'd go, Now, no, I don't think so. I'm done. Yeah, I just want to get a little workout in. Just don't take them for granted. Because while another rainbow season will come around again, that one particular season won't continue forever. Listen to me closely. That one particular season won't last forever. We should always treasure these rainbow days. For they are gifts from God. Gifts that we can pull out of the closet on days or through seasons when heaven seems particularly silent. And remember how God did and how God does. Oh, then here comes another set of seasons. You had rainbow days, but now you got ordinary days. See, that's where life begins to hit the road, you know, when rubber begins to meet the road. Ordinary days. There are days that, you know, there are, me and my wife, we go through seasons of you know, romantic, but we're not like that every day. Why? Because we got life to do. Right? We got to deal with life. I got to go to work. She got to do her thing. You know, we got kids to raise. We got to do stuff. You know, car needs to be cleaned. They need new tires. You just got stuff you got to do. People go to work. We do stuff. While we all love the non-circumcision rainbow days, we all know that there are also seasons of our spiritual life when we fall into a kind of maintenance mentality. Where life becomes routine. There aren't any major crises, there aren't any major problems, and yet there are no major gains and there are no major wins either. During these ordinary seasons of life, we may feel a little bored. If you talk to fitness people like myself, or Ken or Kelly or some of these, if you talk to some of these people, they'll tell you, you know, you go on a diet, aren't you? Don't you love it when you go on a diet, like you lose like 17 pounds the first 2 days? Yeah. Woo. And then, you know, and then you kind of level off and you just start kind of maintaining. You ain't gaining no weight, but you're not losing no weight, but you're still putting them out the same amount of effort. That's what happens. We get tired of that and we go, it ain't working. Now what you don't understand is you have leveled off. You're still doing some good work. It just doesn't show. It's building a basis. My God, somebody hear me. And sometimes you think because of the fact, well, I come to church, but I didn't feel the ooh, I didn't feel the doodads running up and down my spine. I didn't do the Church of God chicken. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. They didn't sing my same song. Blah, 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 blah. I just didn't feel anything. I don't even know why I go. You keep going. You keep going. You keep doing what you know to do. You keep doing the routine because God is building something on your foundation that when the other days come and the other seasons come, that you'll be able to stand the test of time and say, I'm not backing down. I'm not backing up. I'm going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord in my life. When we get up, our thoughts might tend to gravitate not so much toward the Lord, but toward the things we have to get done that day. Ordinary days. Hey, I know what I'm talking about, man. I know what it is to wake up with heaven on your mind. Oh, I woke up with heaven on my mind. Woo! Hallelujah. And then I wake up with like, all right, I got to get this done, this done, this done, this done. This done. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes thinking about what I got to get done. Right? Ordinary days. When the kids run into your house with muddy sneakers, you probably won't enjoy the opportunity to recollect when you was a child. Now, during these ordinary seasons, God is still very much present in the scenes of our everyday life. And yet, hear me closely, and yet, we don't often encounter Him, frankly, because we don't even remember to look for Him. You know, I've told this story one time before, or a couple few times probably. In Bluntstown, there was a lady that came in, and she was, you know, let me just tell you something. Pastors are people too, and we go through not so good seasons. And there are times we just get fed up. And there was this time that she came in and I would just had enough. I'm done. And she came in and she was one of those Christians that you had to prop up all the time. You always had to, one of those, a lot of stuff required of her. And I just got tired of baby feeding her. And she came in and she says, well, I just think I'm telling you, I'm just so upset. I just think I'm not going to serve the Lord no more. Because He don't hear me when I pray. I said, then just cuss God. She looked at me. She said, what? I said, just give God a good cussing. Because I know you before you got saved. That's what you would have done. You'd have cussed me out a long time ago. You probably already cussed me out. You just ain't ever said it to my face. So go ahead and just cuss God out. Now, here's what she said. She just told me that God doesn't hear her prayer. But then here's what she said. She said, I will do not. He will hear me. And I wanted to go, pop, then you should have had a V8. Do you think God will hear you cussing Him, but He won't hear you praising Him? He won't hear you asking for help when you are His child? So listen. We think we are better parents than God. Little Zion back there. Is he asleep? No? All right, little Zion. I can promise, how old is little Zion now? 5 months old. Zion at 5 months old. I promise you, you probably already have recognized the different cries that he has. Now, he can't talk. All he can, that's all he can do. But she has recognized the different cries. Sometimes he cries because he's wet. Sometimes he cries because he's hungry. Sometimes he cries because he's got a dirty diaper. Sometimes he cries because he's hurting. And a mama and usually a father can tell the difference between what kind of cry. And God knows when you're just money grubbing. And God knows when you're just complaining. And God knows that when you're hurt. And when you're hurt, he's not going to leave over here and let you continue to hurt. He's going to come and say, what is going on in your life? He already knows. He will come and fix it for you. Hey, somebody hear me. We may not notice him even when he's tapping us on the shoulder. Oh, I ain't got time to read all this. I ain't got time to go on all this. What's my next one? Let's just give me my next one. It was a season marked by unextraordinary. I have no idea where that's at. All right, let me just say this. Prayers, two more points in 15 minutes. All right, I can do it. In 1 Samuel, we read about the days following Moses and Joshua. Pharaoh has been long defeated. The Ten Commandments and Mount Sinai are old news. Joshua had already led Israel into the Promised Land. Leftover manna is already on eBay being auctioned off. It is over with. And so with that as a backdrop, we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. You done been through all that. But now the word of the Lord is rare. It wasn't non-existent, but it wasn't like rainbow days when God was parting the Red Sea and parting the Jordan and bringing manna down from heaven. But God was still there. The people weren't in a state of major rebellion. The tabernacle was still open to worship. Prayers were still being made. And yet it was a season marked by the unextraordinary. That's where they were. God was still present, but people are thinking of him, aren't thinking of him as much as they did when they first arrived in the land that flowed with milk and honey. Because let me tell you something, church. Some of us, the only reason that God is on our minds so much is because all the hell that you're going through right now. The heavens may still be declaring the glory of God, but the people are half asleep in their easy chairs. Surfing through the channels. It's what some psychologists refer to as habituation. Not habitation, habituation. It's a huge difference. Habituation means this. Why, are you a psychologist? No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn. The diminishing of psychological or emotional response to a frequent, repeated stimulus. In other words, when we're introduced into a new environment, we're intensely aware of it. But the awareness soon begins to fade. Habituation. You know, like a new car. Remember when you got the first new car? You parked it like a mile out. It didn't matter you had to walk. Oh, they ain't gonna touch my car. Now, after the sixth payment, you will park it right next to a rusty bucket just because it's got a good parking spot. Oh, it'll be all right. What about if somebody hits your car? It'll be all right. It'll be all right. You don't worry as much. Habituation. One of the greatest challenges we face as believers is what might be called spiritual habituation, where we drift into spiritual autopilot, hardly aware of what God is doing or saying as the days go by. He's been moving in your life, but you don't even know it. I want you to know it was by the hand of God that you woke up this morning. It was by the will and the grace of God that you ain't lost your mind. It is by the will and grace of God that you were able to bring yourself to the church this morning. It was by His will. But yet we didn't get up usually going, oh, thank you, Lord, that my heart is still beating. Because it's beating. But when that heart begins to give trouble, all of a sudden, you become keenly aware. Whew. When they start talking about pacemaker and they start talking about defibrillator, you become keenly aware. Whew. Oh, Lord Jesus. Every little bump in your heart, right? Because you become keenly aware. Jesus didn't say, I came that you might get by and do okay. You see, spiritual habituation is so dangerous because it sneaks up on us so slowly that we're hardly aware of it. In Genesis 28:12, we read about how Jacob was running for it from his brother after cheating his brother out of his birthright. And Jacob falls asleep and has a dream. And in this dream, he sees a ladder resting on the earth. And the Bible says, with its top reaching the heavens, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Then God says to Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham and of Isaac, and I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And then, just blown away, Jacob responds by saying, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. How many times has God been in your place and you wasn't even aware of it because of ordinary days? Jacob names the place Bethel, which means the house of God, the place where God is present, because it was there that Jacob discovered that God was closer than he ever even imagined. Maybe it's because God wants us to learn to see Him in the ordinary rather than be dependent upon the extraordinary. Well, you know, Pastor, God just don't move like He once did. Really? See, listen, there are two doors you can line up behind. You want to line up behind the door of miracles, where you need a miracle every day and a miracle every week? I don't want to line up behind that door. I want to line up behind the door of blessing, where I'm blessed and I don't need the miracles every day. But I need to understand that the blessing is still the miracle. Are you hearing me? You see, there came a time when Israel didn't need manna. When manna came, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the, or thank you, God, for the manna. But there came a time when they didn't need manna and they forgot to thank God for the present. They needed to thank God for what God had already was giving them on a daily basis. You and I, if you're not going through trouble, you need to go ahead and just go, thank you, God, that today is not a day of trouble, but today might be an ordinary day, but I thank you, God, for ordinary days. I got to get through all this. Where am I at? I got to go. What's my next one? It's not just always going to be that easy to find God on the daily pages of our lives. I really don't know what that means, but come on. The more you review what God was wanting to say yesterday, the better we recognize what He's saying to us today. I'm going to say it one more time. The more you review what God was wanting to say yesterday, the better we get at recognizing what He's saying and doing today. All right. Now here comes another season. Are you ready? Number three. We have them don't look at me days. Don't look at me days. Yeah. Beyond the rainbow days and the ordinary seasons of life, there are times when, like Adam after the fall, we're the ones who go into hiding. God, don't look at me. God, don't search me. I really don't even need you talking to me because, you know, I know people who won't even come to church because of conviction. And you know what I say? Thank God that they can still find conviction in this house. I know folks right now who won't come to this church because they say, no, I get convicted. Every time I go to your church, I have to be at the altar. I can't be coming to your church. I have to be at the altar. I said, okay, then go to a church where there is no conviction. Why would we hide from a God we believe to be so gracious and so good? Here's why, unfortunately. We hide from God because hiddenness is what a heart willing to accept apathy or a heart choosing to embrace sin will always choose for itself. Is to hide. Because if I'm going to sin, I don't want God to see me. If I'm going to act ugly, I don't want God to see me. When God called out to Adam in the garden, He said, I heard you in the garden. Here's what Adam said. God, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid, so I hid myself. He said, don't look at me, God. We've all been there. Not me. You're there right now. I've never been there. It's because you're too stupid to have been there. We've all been there. Where we've done things wrong and we don't want God to look at us. We don't want God to see us. At some point, as you choose to move closer to doing what that thing you know is wrong, you'll unconsciously say, don't look at me. And yet as Adam ran behind those trees in order to hide from God, the reality was this, is that while God could still see him, Adam could no longer see God. Somebody needs to hear me. So maybe the question we need to ask is if you're not seeing God, is it because you've hid yourself? Sin always has the consequence of damaging our ability to perceive in God in the present moment. Every choice to sin, no matter how small, diminishes our capacity and experience of God. If If it's been a don't look at me season, would you, like Adam, come out of hiding and embrace God, who will always love you and always welcome you? Point number four, the hiddenness of God. When heaven goes silent, the hiddenness of God. Perhaps the hardest season to go through are those where it just seems as though God may have completely went AWOL. Nowhere to be found. There are times when I've tried to pray, and yet it seems like that my prayers were just bouncing off the walls and the ceiling. There have been times where I've needed God's wisdom for an important decision, and yet it seems as though heaven had nothing to say to me. Though let me suggest that perhaps even in the hiddenness, that God is still up to something. Even when you can't hear Him, He's still up to something. I wonder if those hidden picture scenes would have been as popular if you were able just to find. Did you bring that out? Give it to me, please, sir. Bring that picture back up. This one here, that's pretty easy, right? But what about the two figures over here? What about the cat up here, the fish, shell? How about the bear? It's kind of oblivious to you. But in the hiddenness of God, if you look at it long enough, when I first seen this picture, and I got the idea to do this, I immediately saw this. I didn't see that. I didn't see this until John or somebody in my office pointed out this morning during our staff meeting. See, the more, maybe the hiddenness of God makes you want to look until you find things that you didn't even know were there. How about this face? How about all the faces on this? There are different faces all over this place here. How about these faces? How about whoever this is and in the arms of this whatever? I don't know what it is. It's just I see it. How about this nose and mouth and eyes? The more you study it, the more you just stare into it, the more you look. Maybe God is being hidden because He wants you to look for Him. He said, look and you shall find me. But we're so used to God being so easily recognizable that we really don't even know who He truly is. We just know Him as the rich uncle. We just know Him as our sugar daddy. When He is holy, when He is merciful, when He is gracious, there might be a reason behind the uncertainty. There may be some good that comes out of us having to find God. If you consider all the most significant moments of personal growth in your life, probably many have some level of uncertainty. Because uncertainty can be a unique opportunity for growth. Let me ask you something. Have you ever prayed, God, I want to know you more. I want to walk more closely with you. Well, I'm not sure how you expected God to answer. Maybe your expectation was that your whole life with God would be lived in rainbow days. Anybody ever have, other than myself, I had a vision of what marriage was going to look like. And it is not quite what I had envisioned. When I said I do, I didn't know what I did. Right? Pastor, is that a bad thing? No, it's not. Because in one many senses, I couldn't keep up with that life. Maybe you thought you'd never doubt. That God would never seem far off. That your challenges would never stretch you. If that's the case, then the more difficult seasons of life like these can really catch you off guard if you're that way. Biblical understanding and expectation plays so much into how we walk through these kinds of seasons. If you live out your Christian walk thinking that you'll never question, that you'll never doubt, that every sense of God's absence has to do with our pushing Him away, then when we do doubt, when we do struggle in our faith, when it does seem like that God is far off, then we'll just assume that it's either something wrong with us or something wrong with God instead of wanting to grow. I'm not done, but I'm through. We love singing, God is great. He gave us chocolate cake. But if we've never been through the hard times and found Him in the valley seasons, you wouldn't really understand when someone would say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If you've never had God do that, then you don't even know what I'm talking about. When you've been in the midst of hell and all of a sudden God steps into your situation. When you've been in the midst of depression and God brings light into your life, it changes things. Will you look for Him in the unexpected places? Will you continue to interact with Him in prayer? Because one thing's for sure, whether God puts a rainbow in the sky to remind us that He's right there with us, or whether He chooses to hide in order to grow us closer, one thing is always sure, is that He loves us. And He says in Jeremiah, with an everlasting love, that He loves our presence. That He always at work through all the seasons of our life, drawing us into a deeper intimacy with Him. Stand to your feet this morning. I know I got to close. Family focus hour is beginning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to do this. Maybe you've been like Adam and you've been hiding from God. But you're ready to come home to Him. If you're here, just lift up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I'm just going to pray a prayer with you. If you're here, I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take those hands, everybody that will. Would you just lift up your hands unto Him? And I want you to pray this prayer with me, everybody here. Lord, thank You for the seasons of my life. You've been there and You are there through it all. And I ask You to forgive me for hiding myself. Forgive me for my sin. And I ask You to cleanse me. And You said You are faithful. You are just to do so in my life. So thank You, Lord, for Your forgiveness and for a freshness in my life. I declare today, I will seek your face all the days of my life, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In your name, amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me 5 minutes. I know I'm supposed to be done. Give me 5 minutes. We got to take care of something here. Dennis and Sherry have been our worship leaders now over the last 2.5 years. Most of you know that Dennis had a couple of episodes, a couple he didn't tell us about. But he's been diagnosed with enlarged heart, enlarged right or left ventricle. And it's growing more and more increasingly hard for him to do what he does at Crystal River Church of God. Most of you that don't know, he and his wife drive 2.5 hours down here several times a week. And so they feel like, do you want to say? He feels like that God is releasing him for a time of rest. And so today is their last service with us as our worship leaders. I'm sure they'll be back and fellowship with us and so forth, so on. But we want to pray over them. We want God's health and healing for Dennis. And we want to thank him for 2.5 years of service to our church. And thank God for them. Amen. I want you to lift your hands this way this morning.
I want to say thank you for everything. We came here two hurt people, two broken people. And God used y'all to be a healing balm to not only our spirits, but to our minds. And to my worship team, thank you for everything. Y'all been the greatest. And what was deposited into y'all this weekend was not by accident. It's going to carry y'all and this church into a new season. Whoever the new person is, the new season. God got y'all ready for a new season. Thank him for last season. But thank him as you go into the new season. God's going to do great things.
Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for their dedication, for their service to you and to our church. And today, God, this did not take you by surprise. I know that you have a plan not only for their life, but for our church. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit for a healing to come physically to his body, that he may complete the plan you have for he and Sherry. We give you praise for their impact at Crystal River Church of God, for their life, for their service, for their anointing. And God, I pray that you help us just to build on what the foundation that's been laid. And we send them forth with your anointing and with your blessing and with our thanks in your name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.